The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
We are gathering medals apace at the Paris Olympics, ladies and gentlemen. It is great to see. We are up to four right now. One of those bronzes could become a silver if Kelly Harrington continues to box the way that she's been boxing of late. And she may even get a gold medal if she succeeds in the final. The guys in the skiff were doing quite well as well, except the wind in Marseille let them down. So what has changed so dramatically between Olympic Games? I mean, we did well in Japan. But it looks like, all going well, we're going to do better in Paris. And we're going to speak to a former Olympian in just a minute and our chief writer with the Irish Daily Star. But Una May, chief executive of Sports Ireland, is with us first of all. Una May, can you explain why we're doing so well here? And I'm not taking away just from the people who've won medals so far, but overall, the performance has been great by the athletes who've gone to Paris.
Look, it has, and it starts with the fact that we've got the biggest ever team. We have a huge increase in investment from the government, very sustained investment, which really makes the difference. So, you know, nothing like this happens overnight. It happens over years, and the willingness of the government to invest progressively larger amounts year on year has actually allowed us to get to the position where we have a sophisticated system which has our athletes training at the highest level. We, you know, as we bake here in the heat in Paris, we're very grateful to the investment that allowed us to get an environmental chamber in the institute in the campus where athletes can go and acclimatise to the heat. So we're becoming very sophisticated in our approach, and the systems are being developed. We're developing our national governing bodies to be more sophisticated in how they approach every element of preparation from grassroots all the way through to high performance sports. So the system is maturing, and we have a very, very significant investment. The investment of the government has gone from 59 million over the Tokyo Olympic cycle to 89 million for the Paris cycle. So that's a very significant increase.
I want to bring in Colin Louth, who's a former Olympic butterfly swimmer for Ireland. I think, was it Sydney you were lining out for Ireland in, Colin?
Yes, Sydney, 24 years ago.
Right. When you're looking, do you get the heebie-jeebies now when you're looking at the athletes and the swimmers in particular going into what is a very unusual bowl environment for them? The noise, I'd say, on its own would give you the wobbles.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you know, it certainly does. I mean, my heart's racing every time I watch the finals each evening, supporting like the likes of Daniel and Mona and Ellen, and cheering them on. But it does all come flooding back, all right.
But let's go back to when you were training. So 2000, that means you'd kind of put the years in at that stage. What facilities were in place then compared to what's there now?
I really don't think much has changed in terms of facilities from 24 years ago. Yes, we have the National Aquatic Centre and the City Mirror Pool in UL. But I mean, nothing really has changed much. I mean, myself, I trained in a 25-meter pool and was competing in an Olympic-sized pool. So that was the major thing. I was really a part-time swimmer, full-time student. So when I was qualifying for the Sydney Olympics, I was trying to kind of a juggling act between trying to get through my final year and trying to qualify for the Olympics. So I was only actually selected 3 weeks after my final exams, and then was off to Australia a month later. So maybe a little bit prepared for the whole, the Olympic game platform. So yeah.
Mm. How much of a role does having paid coaches in place and people who, you know, can bring the best out of these athletes? It's so important, yeah. I suspect. But clearly, if we're putting more money into sport, then the coaches and the athletes benefit.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the swimmers that have excelled this week, like a lot of them are based in regional clubs. Like you saw Mona McSherry, she's based up in Ballyshannon with Grace Neves, and Brian Sweeney in Temple Oak with Ellen Walsh, and you know, the role of Daniel and Nathan Whiff in Northern Ireland. There's so many, you know, they deserve an awful lot of credit for their, you know, their knowledge and expertise and perseverance, throughout the years in difficult circumstances, you know, to be able to kind of foster and improve and have such an invaluable input onto these swimmers. So they deserve an awful lot of credit, as does Swim Ireland as well, you know, our national swimming body. They've kind of fostered a culture of excellence, you know, giving the swimmers the belief they can perform, and not only perform, but actually beat athletes from all around the world.
I was just going to ask Una the question. I've been around long enough to have covered a few Olympics, and I'm going to speak to Kieran Cunningham in just a minute. But Una, if I can put it to you, going back to 2016, we won two medals. Paul and Gary O'Donovan won the silvers. But we won nothing else that year. And in fact, if anybody remembers anything, it's about scandal and stuff that didn't involve athletes. Was that a turning point, do you think, Una? Not wishing to litigate old rows, but did we start taking differently after that?
There's a very different approach, and it's not necessarily because of that, but there is a much greater alignment now between the entire system. So Sport Ireland and the Olympic Federation have worked extremely closely together. So our athletes here in the village have a whole team of medical people. They have doctors, physios, they have sports psychologists. So they're travelling with all the service providers that the athletes are familiar with, that they've used during the years in between games, that they are provided with these services at the Sport Ireland campus as part of the centralised swimming system. And I suppose it's important to recognise as well that the swimmers that have been very successful have been receiving significant government funding. They've been receiving the maximum carding grants, which is equivalent to a full-time salary. They're also heavily supported. We have in Ireland, we're developing a system for athletes to align with their universities. We have an athlete-friendly employer network to help athletes to find jobs where their employers are willing to kind of be comfortable to allow them extra time, so that there'll be a payback when the athletes finish their career and they can progress directly into a career. We have athlete support, as I said, in universities, where the universities are providing with specific, you know, supports if they miss parts of their course or if they're away at the time of an exam and things. So the entire system has come together now in a much more aligned and coordinated way.
Yeah, I mean, I was down recently before the Olympics speaking to Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy for a video on behalf of Rowing Ireland and Avis and Young, and just to see the facilities that they have in Farran. I mean, that was an investment we put in years ago, and guess what happened? We got really good at rowing. Can you imagine if we started investing more in swimming pools? Santry, much and all, a Santry is a great asset. It isn't exactly a showpiece when it comes to athletics. If we just kept and used the example of rowing and swimming to a certain degree with the National Aquatic Centre, just get more children involved, get young people inspired, because that's what the Olympics is all about, Una.
Yeah, and we have, look, we're very, very lucky that we have a government which has invested in the development of the Sport Ireland campus in Blanchardstown, and we have state-of-the-art facilities there. We have 1,000 children a week doing gymnastics lessons in the same gym that our Olympic athletes are training in. We have 1 million visitors a year to the National Aquatic Centre. We have the Indoor Badminton Centre. We have the National Indoor Running Track. We have the Institute of Sport. So we're slowly, and today an announcement was made by the ministers, and we're very grateful for the announcement that we can progress to tender now on a national velodrome and badminton centre on the campus. So, you know, all of our sports are going to be eventually be fully equipped with everything they need to be the successful athletes that they can be and that they will be in the future.
Okay, well, one text that's come in here says there were swimming pools, public swimming pools in many towns that were unfortunately not given any funding and have fallen into disrepair. Why can the government not fund these pools, these running tracks, etc.? It would 100% reduce much of the antisocial behaviour in society these days. Let's bring in our third guest, Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Kieran, you've been covering Olympics for a long time. What do you make of what's been happening in Paris?
Well, it's not a surprise. Like, if you read the previews or if you listen back to the previews as well, most people did think this would be Ireland's most successful Olympics. And we, you know, the Irish team is on course for that. You know, as things stand, the most successful is London 2012. And the biggest difference since the first Olympics I covered was Sydney in 2000. And is that most people are on the same page now. Like back then, there was so much infighting. I remember there was a huge row over accreditation for the Minister of Sport at the time, Jim McDade, and what was then the Olympic Council of Ireland. Then you go fast forward 4 years. I remember being at a lunch in Athens at the Olympics there with the then Minister for Sport, John O'Donoghue. And it, you know, it was effectively a post-mortem while the Olympics was going on, like why had the Ireland team done so badly there? And he was talking about the GAA and, you know, everybody that's any good ends up playing GAA. There was a lot of defeatist talk. There was a lot of infighting. And now I think there's definitely a lot more unity. You know, and you know, there has been investment, and importantly, smart investment into facilities and personnel. And there's very impressive people involved across Irish sport. Like you look at somebody like Sarah Keane, who took on the Olympic Council, and then it was renamed the Olympic Federation when it was on its last legs.
It was a basket case. And the question that was always asked, can you do something that will solve the problem? Guess what? She did.
Yeah. But as well as getting the Olympic Federation back up and running, she's also CEO of Swim Ireland, who've come on in leaps and bounds. So you have had exceptional people. Like, I think the next wave of investment has to be in coaching, because as things stand across all, you know, I think there's over 50 national governing bodies under the auspices of Sport Ireland, and most coaches are still volunteers, even the coaches of a lot of the Olympians in Paris. And I think it's harder to persuade politicians to invest in that. Like, you get to cut a ribbon to open a new velodrome. You don't get as many political photo opportunities by investing in coaching. But to kick on, like, you don't want this to be the end and the ultimate. You want to kick on for Los Angeles now. So I think we are, you know, as a country, as a sporting nation, we're a good place. But, you know, we have to build on that.
Yeah, I mean, what I find fascinating about this, Kieran, is
if I could just come in on that just to say, you know, look, we are, it is a progressive development and evolution of a programme. But in the last year, we've invested over €1 million in coaching, which is direct funding from the government. So there are all these things. We have to start with building the core infrastructure, building strong governing bodies who have the capacity to actually support their athletes, support their high performance programmes, who have the knowledge and expertise to build a high performance programme. And then we go to the next step. We make sure we have the right facilities. We make sure we have the right services. Now our focus has moved towards developing the coaching infrastructure and providing that professional coaching opportunity. We'll be looking at pathways for young athletes, you know, so it doesn't, like I said earlier, it doesn't happen overnight, but it is being progressively developed and evolved as we go forward, which is really very positive.
I mean, Kieran, it's a maturity, isn't it, that we've gone from a system whereby, you know, the investment wasn't really there and the focus might have been slightly askew, whereas now the focus is on the athletes, the focus is on getting facilities in place. God forbid, are we actually doing something right in this country?
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the broad sweep of Olympic history, like the likes of Ronnie Delaney, Eamon Coughlin, Sonia O'Sullivan, like they weren't really products of an Irish system. They were products of Villanova University. That's where their talent was honed. You know, so can we had accidental success over the years, you know, that we just an outstanding individual would emerge, but the work wasn't really put in. The work has now been put in to produce the Paul O'Donovans and the Rashid Adeleke's of the future. And, you know, across the board, I have to say, even things like media supports now, sports psychology, diet, nutrition, like Ireland was playing catch up for a long time. I don't think Ireland is playing catch up now. And it's just completely unrecognizable when you have that experience of covering Olympics at Ireland teams like in Sydney or Athens when things were messy. And no, to the experience now is just radically different. And people have to take credit for that. The people who put that in place have to take credit.
OK, Colin, I'm going to finish with you because we are talking about the athletes as if the thing is over. And of course, it certainly isn't. We have two medals in swimming already. And, you know, I'm no expert, but when you're looking at the list that's coming up, I know we've Thomas Fannin, I think, is swimming again tonight in the semi-finals. If we look tomorrow, we've got Ellen Walsh, who's going in the individual medleys. I mean, we're not finished in the pool by any stretch, are we?
Absolutely. And then, of course, Mr. Whiffen on Saturday in the 1500 metres, and he'll be supremely confident in backing up his 800 metre swim later on in the week. So we have, it's not over by a long shot. And, you know, these swimmers are, They're performing fantastically all week, making semi-finals and then finals. You know, there's definitely a lot more in the tank from all of them.
Yeah, well, it's something to watch, which is the other side of it. And people are watching an absolutely obscene amount of it on the telly, which is good.
We're showcasing swimming to, you know, the outside, for outside the swimming fraternity. And that's what we want to see. So it's been a very proud week for, you know, everybody involved in swimming, whether it's within competitive swimmers or ex-competitive swimmers like myself. It's just really, really good. And everything has been a positive experience from the analysis on TV right through. And everyone deserves, you know, huge credit for it.
Yeah, well, there's a little boy or a little girl looking at this going, I wonder could that be me? And they'll be the ones we're celebrating in 10 or 12 years' time. Colin Louth, a former Olympian, Kieran Cunningham, Chief Sports Writer with the Irish Daily Star, Chief Executive of Sports Ireland, Una May, thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.